Hi and welcome. This is Steve Halpern with Super Anti-Aging Podcast, where we bring you the latest health information that can make a difference in your life. You know, I read lots and lots of medical journals, not just doing simple Google searches, news headlines, which often don't represent the actual studies. So this is going to be a summation of some of the latest health news from various health and nutrition journals. You know, the whole area of oxidative stress is so exciting. Very few lay people know that there's actually something called the Oxygen Society, where they have a journal and they have international conferences dealing with all aspects of antioxidants and oxidative stress. Well, the recent story I just saw, or actually a recent article I just saw, was fascinating. We've seen in our office, and certainly when you do a literature search, that iodine is very, very important, and many people seem to be iodine deficient. Now, why? Maybe it's the fluoride. We don't know all the reasons, but we do both blood and urine tests of iodine levels, and we find many patients are deficient. Well, there have been some interesting past studies of iodine being very protective of the breast, and especially in development of breast cancer. Well, how amazingly connected that this recent study showed a connection between a very common condition in men called benign hypertrophic prostate, which is basically a swelling of the prostate, very, very common in men, and quite troublesome because it leads to frequent urination, getting up in the middle of the night, and there are a number of nutrition supplements that supposedly work, such as beta-testosterone, but really, even though it's a big seller, it's a big nutrition seller on infomercials, there's very, very little research on beta-testosterone. I like that word, beta-testosterone. It's like, ramble. It's like a tongue twister. Anyway, let me get to the point. They found that in animal studies, a number of animal studies, and certainly it needs to be replicated in humans, that iodine could protect against BHP, or benign hypertrophic prostate. Well, that's an easy thing to do. You see a lot of people on salt-free diets, and so they're not going to get the iodine added to the salt, so that they may wind up iodine deficient or just low iodine. So this is a great addition. Why not just add an iodine supplement, or a couple drops of iodine, or start to eat a lot of seaweed, and you might be able to protect your prostate. There's another interesting finding that DHT, or dehydrotestosterone, that's a very, very potent form of testosterone, also is involved in benign hypertrophic prostate. Swelling in the prostate. Sulforaphane, which I often talk about from the broccoli sprouts or the broccoli seed, has been shown to lower high levels of dehydrotestosterone. So another beneficial finding for this wonderful ingredient that's, again, found mainly in broccoli sprouts or broccoli seed. Another interesting study was on avocado, and avocado seemed to, especially in people who had high fat diets, lower dangerous LDL cholesterol. And not only to lower LDL cholesterol, but it lowered, it changed the kind of cholesterol, the dangerous LDL, or the oxidized LDL, and especially particle sizes. Another interesting piece I came across on the web, which is that Google has a rather secretive longevity-funded company called Calico, which is working on all sorts of life extension ideas. And they did a human study. It was a small study on caloric restriction where they restricted, this is in a group of humans, 30% of their calories. And of course, it's not a long-term trial to show that people live longer, but they certainly got healthier and a lot of health markers improved. There was weight loss and there was blood sugar control and cholesterol levels dropped. So certainly, again, I'm a big fan of healthy caloric restriction. And as I've said in previous podcasts, there's a couple ways of doing it. You can postpone eating your first meal as long as you can. So if you've eaten at 9 o'clock at night, don't eat breakfast. This whole idea of eat breakfast, was really promulgated by, I think, the cereal people. The cereal and the egg people promulgated, you have to eat breakfast. Why? In the wild, when we were hunter-gatherers, people didn't sit around and said, okay, it's breakfast time. No. They ate when there was available food supply, and they were actually practicing caloric restriction because, you know, they had to go out and find the animal, or even in hunter-gatherers, they had to go out and find all the food and gather up the food. So they were practicing caloric restriction. So that's fascinating. And another interesting study that was done, again, in humans, showed a very simple answer to type 2 diabetes, which is rampant in this country. It's one of the most common health conditions, type 2 diabetes. And doctors often prescribe medications such as metformin and other diabetic sugar medications. Well, what they found is when there was weight loss, in 85% of the people, the diabetes went away. How amazing that a dietary approach like this could be so simple. Another interesting journal article, and maybe a lot of lay public, and even I'm sure a lot of health professionals don't realize that estrogen and progesterone, two hormones produced in high levels in women, of course, can protect against oxidative stress and help protect mitochondria. And this is really fascinating to the whole subject of these podcasts, which is super anti-aging. So working with an integrated physician or a very knowledgeable primary physician on the appropriate use of hormone replacement might be an extremely beneficial anti-aging and, of course, disease prevention. Since oxidative stress, which then leads to inflammation, which, according to many health professionals, is involved in 90% of our chronic conditions, might be alleviated by appropriate hormonal management. So for those that choose wisely, with good counsel from their practitioner, to do hormonal replacement, they, rather than running and talking about risk, 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 there might be benefit, benefit, benefit. Because you can always do lots of nutrients to protect against the possibility of a risk from the estrogen replacement. And I think in balance for women, the risk of cardiovascular disease and brain changes, brain shrinkage, and dementia might be more important than the so-called risk of breast cancer. In fact, studies have shown that women who develop breast cancer postmenopausally, when they have low estrogen, actually have more serious breast cancer than women who have sufficient estrogen. So I think you need to bring this information to your practitioner, since you can't write scripts yourself for these hormones. There are nutrients that also might be very supportive. The nutrient boron, anywhere from 3 to 6 milligrams, has been shown to increase the production of hormones. So that might be a good alternative. The possibility of supplementing with DHEA might be another option. And then herbal support, things like ginseng to balance the hormones. And again, speaking of hormones, I saw a really, really nice human study on ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an Indian, traditional Ayurvedic Indian herb. And again, this was a human study with individuals with thyroid issues. They had high thyroid-stimulating hormone, which is indicative of a thyroid condition, and low levels of T3, T4, especially T4, the active thyroid hormone. And when they went on the ashwagandha, they saw a normalization. To their surprise, the researchers' surprise, they saw a lowering of the thyroid-stimulating hormone and a normalization of T3, T4. Ashwagandha, as I've talked about on previous podcasts, is an adaptogenic herb, but it seems to have lots and lots of other benefits by balancing the system. And I think whenever we talk about a hormone deficiency, such as or imbalance, such as thyroid, we need to remember that it's the endocrine system. You don't go to, doctors are called endocrinologists who specialize in hormones. They're not called thyroidologists. No, it's the whole system, the liver, the microbiome, the thymus, the pituitary, all those systems in the body need to be considered by a good practitioner, and not just tinkering with one system. And speaking of systems, this whole microbiome is just exploding in research on the web. And one of the interesting journals that I come across, it's actually an immunology and a cancer journal. And what are they talking about? They're talking about the possibility of cancer prevention through microbiome health. They were talking about lactobacillus and a few others, fairly common probiotics being protective. Well, this is proving out interesting, because one of the great advances now in cancer treatment is immunology, where they take immune cells out and they change them around so that they become super immune cells that go in and ramp up your immune system. Well, this Cancer Journal had some articles on how a healthy microbiome or an unhealthy microbiome could interfere with immunotherapy, and a healthy biome could support immunotherapy. Well, remember, they're injecting your own cells that have been ramped up. So, if you have a healthy microbiome, maybe you won't develop the cancer because your regular immune cells are doing the job, right? So we really need to consider the body as a system. I think what happened when we started to have, years and years ago, doctors became specialists. When I was growing up, you know, basically there was your family doctor. And of course, there wasn't the knowledge explosion we have today, but the doctor knew who you were and looked at you as a whole person. Today, you know, we have specialists and subspecialists and sub-subspecialists. And, you know, you can get caught. I was speaking to a good friend of mine, you know, very, very bright fellow, and we were talking about how his girlfriend has been caught in this whole specialty thing where you go to a specialist, and then they send you to another specialist, and then they send you to a different specialist. And no one's looking at the whole picture. They're all looking at one little piece of the pie, right? Think of yourself as a whole pie. And we're looking at a spoonful, each specialist. Oh, this is the right part of the pie, and this is the left part of the pie, and this is the inner part of the pie, instead of looking at the whole system. I think that's what's missing in medicine today. It's wonderful to have experts and specialists who really, really, really know their field, but they need to coordinate with the generalist who can look at the whole picture. So that, you know, that's my take on, you know, medicine today. I think acute medicine is absolutely wonderful. There's a new therapy, you know, talk about news breaks where they're using immune modulation, changing immune cells to fight heart failure. Yes, heart failure and stroke. And what they do is they take immune cells from someone's, I don't know who it is, hopefully it's a healthy person. They take the bone marrow stem cells, and then what they do is they specially treat it and grow it. So you have millions and millions of stem cells, and then they treat it in a certain way so there's no body reaction. And they're actually doing clinical trials in people with heart failure. That's going to be exciting. And they're also doing clinical trials on stroke. Because when you get a stroke, you have 4 minutes before brain damage starts to set in. And in the animal studies, they actually found that with this stem cell treatment, which can be given intravenously, you would have a window of 30 minutes. So maybe down the road, the ER or even the paramedics might have these stem cells to prevent stroke damage until they can unblock the artery or the clot that's involved in causing the stroke. Another interesting news item needs to be replicated was a Chinese study where they moved some nerves from one place to another in the body, and they got the ability to return function to the arm, a paralyzed arm. So that's another interesting possibility. Again, I talk about the stem cells, and let me make this point. You know, there are lots and lots of clinics all around the country now that are making all sorts of claims for stem cells. Many of these, I think, are not trustworthy because, you know, it's not standardized. You know, they take your stem cells out, they mix them together, what do they mix it with, is the right ones, very, very, very expensive, and actually the FDA is going after a lot of these clinics, and some of the major stem cell companies have closed up because of not seeing the results, and I think the idea of having this kind of treatment where you can have lots and lots of safe stem cells that are going to be standardized, that can be widely used and not at the extent of some of the outrageous prices for some of these stem cell treatments, $10,000, $12,000, and we don't know even if these work. So the stem cell stuff is going to be really, really, really interesting. And, you know, there's a technology called CRISPR technology. CRISPR technology was developed a couple of years ago. It's where, in a very low-cost fashion, you can inject certain modified compounds that can actually change the DNA. And they're also ready to conduct some human trials on certain diseases. One of the diseases is a childhood inherited blindness, and they're going to do some CRISPR technology where they're going to modify this damaged gene, and that's also going to be really exciting. So we're on the brink of some major, major, major healthcare changes. So that's a little overview of some of the news that I found interesting. You know, the iodine in the prostate and the stem cells and the avocado. So if you've liked this podcast and you've learned something and you want to be notified whenever a new one comes out, you know, when I find something really, really interesting in the nutrition literature that I'm going to, you know, podcast on, please subscribe and encourage me when I see those numbers, because I get to see people really interested. Please share this with your friends. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe, and I want to thank you so much for listening.